It's the second hour of 3D here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and special guest star Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 Sports Department. Darren McFarland off today. Derek Mason on leave of absence. And we press forward. We got a great show. Had a great first hour for you. Coming up at noon today, Tim Hasselbeck will join us. And we will talk NFL with him on the day before a big game for the Titans as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll be heading out a little later today with the Predators. They'll get ready to take on the Minnesota Wild tomorrow night. So the Predators and the Titans will be going on basically at the same time with a couple of big road contests. So, Steve, college basketball has started. And it started off with
some
big, big stories. And I said this to Rick Byrd yesterday. We had him on in the wake of their huge win over Vanderbilt. They had a great atmosphere over at Kerr Event Center.
Awesome.
And you know, I'm not from Philadelphia, but one thing that I always thought was cool was, you know, the Big Five that mm-hmm. they used to have. And
yep.
A lot of times they would play all in the same building, right? The old Palestra.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a little vibe of that going on in Nashville these last few years. Vanderbilt's been good. Middle Tennessee's been excellent. Belmont's been very consistent. Lipscomb is coming on now. So you've got, you know, some programs. TSU's coming on.
Tennessee State with Dana Ford.
So everybody's bringing something to the table. A lot of them play each other. I think it makes college basketball fun to watch locally.
Oh, it's awesome. Absolutely yeah. awesome. And it's great to be able to have the rooting interest in all these teams as they come up and in different conferences. I mean, you've got some of the OVC teams, but Lipscomb and the A-Sun, they can all win their conferences, basically, and
yeah.
we would cheer for that.
Yeah, and so that's a little bit how it is in the Big Five to a large degree. Right?
And this year, by the way, we've got some teams that have a chance. I think Lipscomb's going to be a contender in the A-Sun. Middle Tennessee, obviously a favorite in Conference USA. Belmont, a favorite in the OVC. So there's some chances that we could have a bunch of teams doing some things later on this year.
Well, with that in mind, we bring on Kermit Davis, head coach, Middle Tennessee. They're 1-0 to start the year, and they've got Belmont coming to town tomorrow night. So another big game on your docket for a Thursday. So, Coach Davis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, appreciate it, Willie. Good to be on, and you're right. We're looking forward to playing a really good Belmont team. It's one of the best defensive teams I've seen them have.
Yeah, Coach Byrd said that. He said, this might be my best defensive team that I've had. And, you know, they held Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I think, hit two of their last three threes when the game was pretty much in hand for Belmont, but they were 2-for-20 to start the game for three. So Belmont has figured out a way to get some pretty good defense. That's a pretty good shooting Vanderbilt team, on paper anyway.
It is, Willie, and that's been the most impressive thing about Belmont to me personally. You know they're going to start shooting the ball better with their percentage from three, and about half their shots are from three. They haven't shot a great percentage, but they've guarded so well to hold Vanderbilt to 34% shooting. You know, on a night they didn't shoot the ball great from the perimeter. That shows a team that can win a lot of different ways.
So, Kermit, how do you feel about this whole the local college basketball vibe? You've been here for a long time, but you know, with Darius Garland signing with Vanderbilt State, we keep one of the local stars here. I love how this is unfolding. Year after year, it seems to get better and better because you have a lot of teams that are fun to follow.
There's no question, Willie. And I just think it's, you know, it's great that Vanderbilt obviously come to our place and then they'd go to Rick's place. And, you know, we did a 2-for-1, so we're going to go to Vanderbilt for 2 years. And we all get that. But the more that, like, we play Murray State or we play Tennessee State and we play Belmont, you know, it's hard in the heart of SEC football to create interest in college basketball, especially in November, early December, and these games do. I mean, if it, you know, the Curb Center was sold out, you know, tomorrow night we'll have a great crowd here versus Belmont. We hope a lot of Belmont people will come too, and I do. I think the college basketball, the interest level, they want to see those games.
It's got kind of a high school state tournament feel to it, to me, when you have the fans from the two different schools getting together for these local games. And for your players, Coach, I would have to think it's easier to throw out the schedule and say, hey, we got Murray State on Monday night. You guys know them and what they can do. Then we got Belmont coming to town. Then we got Tennessee State on Saturday. I would imagine that's an easier sort of rollout to your week and getting guys' attention than if you were just playing, you know, some directional school this time of year.
Yep, Steve, it's a good point. And plus, you think about, you got a Murray State, a great crowd at Murray State, you know, and then we go to Tennessee State Saturday afternoon at 3. So all fan interest game, great budget games, you know, that you're not flying all over the country to play. is great for school. You know, teams aren't missing very much school and playing those games. So there's just a lot of pluses, you know, and then I hope, you know, since Bruce has left, we haven't really gotten Tennessee to play. I guess we played it one time in the NIT. So we sure hope that we can even rekindle even Tennessee and Memphis back on the schedule.
That would be great for sure. Middle Tennessee basketball coach Kermit Davis joining us here on 3D. Your team goes up to Murray State the other night. That's a difficult place to play. You come away with a win. You obviously have some veterans that have been to the NCAA tournament, won games in the NCAA tournament, but what did you learn about your young guys or new guys the other night in that atmosphere with the way they responded?
The one thing, and obviously we're a work in progress for sure, but what we did learn is this. Our four veteran guards who have all played great parts in us winning NCAA tournament games, Dixon and Potts and Simpson and Johnson, they competed hard but had a really kind of poor offensive game. And so it was good that we could go on the road and beat a good Murray State team without those guys at their best offensively. But Nick King, a new guy, had 31. You know, he's averaging about 24 a game early in the season, but he's a real skill stretch four. And had a guy, David Simmons, who was a new junior college player that really gave us a lot of toughness. And then I was really proud of Carl Gamble, the kid that's been in our program. He's played behind Ja'Cory and Reggie and those guys, and really played well for us down the stretch.
That was the most impressive thing to me, Kermit, that your guards, who you count on, Potts and Davis, or Dixon, you essentially didn't get production from them offensively the other night, yet King and Gamble and Walters and those guys got you over the hump.
It did. And so I really didn't think going into the game those four guys could play like that offensively and we still have a chance to win against a good Murray State offensive team. But it is. We kind of did with Belmont. We hung our hat defensively second half. We guarded so much better. Not very good defensively the first half. Held them 23 the second half. And we shot a great percentage from the free throw line. So found a different way to win, you know, and having 19 turnovers, which was a poor stat for us also.
Kermit Davis with us, Middle Tennessee head basketball coach. Coach, you've had great success with transfers coming in. And now you've got Nick King. He starts off great with 31. What is your process like to get guys like that acclimated? When I was at Vanderbilt, we had huge success with transfers. Transfers were a big part of a team that ended up winning the SEC championship in 1993. Bruce Elder, Billy McCaffrey, Chris Lawson, all guys that had transferred in and had to sit out an entire year before they played. But so three of the five starters on an SEC championship team, all coming in from other places. You've had similar success here these last couple of years. What makes it the second go-around for some of these guys the right place at Middle?
Yeah, you know, I bet you Willie on that team and those three guys you mentioned, I bet you they were all high-character guys. I mean, I bet you they were guys that, you know, they still put winning in front of everything else. You know, we've had two players of the years, Dindy and Ja'Cory Williams, that had to sit out a year, and I think they both helped them get involved in the program and the culture of winning and how we go about work. Nick King's a little different, really. He's our first grad transfer where he comes and plays immediately. And so his process, we had to speed his process up, and demands were a lot higher on him early, practices and different things, just because we knew he had to play a vital part for us to have some success early. But, you know, transfers in college basketball, it's a part of the culture. We hate to see it, but everybody's taking advantage of it.
You mentioned him as a stretch four, and that's a term that I think more and more people are saying. We were talking to Rick Berg yesterday. He loves to have the guy down on the post that can operate with the post moves down there. Evan Brads was that guy for years. He's always seemed to have a guy like that, but he says it's harder and harder to find guys who can really operate out of the post. And so now you're hearing a lot more guys with that term stretch four, where maybe you can post up, but also they can go out and face the basket.
Well, you know, the NBA, but really Europe brought it in about 15, 20 years ago. You know, all those guys started coming over and saying, God, these seven-footers, they all make threes, they all hound the ball. And it seemed like the NBA started evolving. You can watch an NBA game, and there may be only five balls thrown right at the post in a true post-up series. Now, you'll have these hybrid fours, stretch four guys that can get involved in the post, and then Belmont's guys can too. But if you can't go out and make a three or at least make a 17, 18-footer and be able to stretch the floor to open up the lane for driving, I tell you what, it's almost like the NBA won't even look at you anymore.
Yeah, Coach, you can blame me for that. Us TV guys, we don't show a lot, don't show a lot of nice post moves and baby hooks.
But it is the truth, and I think like I said, Europe brought it in when we got the European influx. How many years ago that's been, and
yeah,
all the skill
Dirk Nowitzki and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would ever cycle back the other way, Kermit?
I don't think so. I think there will be post up games, but all those guys. We just signed a 6'11" kid from Albany, Georgia, Carlos Curry, who's really a talent, and he's 6'11", 245. And I mean, in a high school game, he'll make two or three threes in a game. He's skilled, you know. But always tell him, if you're 6'11" and all you can do is shoot threes, you don't bring much value. But now if you're 6'11" and you can lead your team in rebounding and make a three, now you've got great value. And so you can't just be a 6'11 guy that plays like a 6'4 guy all the time.
Well, you found a bunch of guys who have some value and have really helped your program get to the next level, back-to-back wins in the first round of the NCAA tournament. How has the expectation level changed? I know you guys have always had high internal expectations, but how has it changed the last couple of years when you start a season based off of how you finished the last season?
You know, Steve, I think we fight like crazy to create expectations, and that's good. I can just sense, especially this year, the national attention, you know, for us has been almost more than the local attention, you know, even in our local newspaper, you know, it seemed like we've had more national people talk about our program, and that's a good thing. And so I just think we all fight every day trying to create the expectations. I think it's a great thing. You know, the players and coaches, they don't get caught up in it, but it's sure great for maybe selling tickets for your fan base or creating your brand to help in recruiting. But we all know we got to go through the day-to-day process, but it's been fun. I'm sure just like Rick can tell you, a fabulous job he's done. I mean, gosh, taking it from an NAIA to creating a national brand in basketball like he has at Belmont. And so it's been fun just in the 16 years that I've been here to see our brand increase and people really notice your players and they notice your basketball brand.
Because of that brand, and now you mentioned national people are paying attention right from the start of the season, not just in March in the conference tournament. When you looked at this schedule this year, you've got a big game tomorrow night against Belmont, which could go a long ways for you later on in the year. Are you now more conscious when you schedule non-conference to try and get some more of those marquee games that pad that resume to give you maybe a chance to have an at-large bid later on in March?
No doubt, Steve. In putting together the schedule, that's the only thing that goes through our mind every year. I mean, it's just that, you know, last year our non-conference strength of schedule was in the top 25 or 30 in college basketball. I really feel this is the toughest one that we've had because, I mean, we're playing three SEC teams. We go to Hawaii, and I think there's six of the eight teams that are NCAA or NIT teams last year, USC, Miami, New Mexico State, Davis, all those teams. But then what's so critical is we're so fortunate is we can play a game like Belmont. And I think Belmont's going to be a top 50 RPI just watching them. I mean, I just think, I mean, there's a lot of basketball, and they may say the same thing about us, but Murray State, I think, is going to win a lot of games. Tennessee State, who beat us last year, you know, at our place. So there's a lot of good quality games that you can play in our area. And then we got Florida Gulf Coast twice, which they may be one of the most talented teams we'll play all year.
Wow. That's a team. That has been a fun team to watch over the years, hasn't it?
My goodness.
People know who they are now. You know, a few years ago, it was like Florida, Gulf Coast. What?
Now they're,
you know,
Dunk City.
Yeah. Dunk City. Well, Coach, it's great to have the season underway here. Congratulations on the win at Murray. Good luck tomorrow night against Belmont. We'll be paying attention.
All right, Willie and Steve, thanks. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Kermit.
Right. Kermit Davis, another good squad on paper going in. Two straight years to the NCAA tournament. It's becoming, you know, very consistent to talk about them in the picture for Conference USA titles.
It's amazing to me the job he's done down there of just steadily building a program. And it was a process. You know, they went from being just a good team to being a team that contended every year in the Sun Belt, by the way. And then they had some issues. You remember this, Willie, where they were winning the regular season, but they couldn't get over the hump in the conference tournament. And,
oh, yeah.
And we were asking the questions of
losses.
Yeah. When are they ever going to get into the NCAA tournament? This team's too good for this to keep happening. And then all of a sudden they get into Conference USA and it's like they take it to another level, literally. And now they're dominating in that league in the regular season, and they're winning the conference tournament, and they've gone into the NCAA tournament now and won games. And, you know, even think about the last 2 years. 2 years ago against Michigan State, it was the biggest upset ever. Nobody expected it to happen, and it did. Last year, people expected them to go in. A lot of people thought they would beat Minnesota, and they walked in and did with the expectations on it. So they've managed each part of this process very well, and Kermit Davis deserves a ton of credit for that.
Now, I didn't get a chance to see these games last night because, obviously, I was at Bridgestone Arena, but a couple of big marquee games. They're trying to kickstart, I can tell, because there are a lot of people that say, remember, the season didn't used to start in college until after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Thanksgiving weekend is when you would, by rule, you couldn't start until before that. Now you start earlier, so they're trying to get some spotlight games going. They had two of them last night, Duke against Michigan State, Kentucky against Kansas in this State Farm Champions Classic. So Duke beats Michigan State 88-81, and Kansas holds off Kentucky 65-61. So anything come out of those two? I mean, you have all these new guys in this day and age of college basketball that you have to learn about. So any takes from that? I don't know if you got to see much of it, or because I didn't see any of it.
I watched mostly the Preds, but I did watch some of it. And the things that I thought, and especially going in, Michigan State and Kansas have the most returning. So to me, those were the two best teams in the country entering the year to me, just because of what they had returning. You talk about Graham and Langford and those guys, and Malik Newman on the perimeter for Kansas. You've got Miles Bridges for Michigan State. Those guys, you know what they are. They're known quantities. When Duke hits the floor, they have the most talented roster in the country, but a lot of those guys are young. A lot of those guys are new. And so what I think I learned last night, same thing for Kentucky, is those new guys, they're ready for the college game. And I know Michigan State, Kansas, who won last night against Kentucky, Michigan State lost to Duke. Those teams are going to be there at the end, but I wanted to see how those young teams matched up, and clearly Duke's there already, the number one team in the country. They won last night in impressive fashion, and the way Kentucky hung with Kansas, that tells me you give John Calipari, as is tradition, 2 or 3 months with those guys, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
And this is the luxury you have in college basketball that you don't have as much of in college football. And it's a different model because you don't stockpile the talent like you can in college football, where the idea is sure. you have guys ready to jump in and produce right off the bat. But you can tinker with your roles. You can you know, be willing to lose a game if you have to, even if it's, you know, not a good-looking loss, as long as you have it together by January 1st, February 1st in particular. And then, of course, peak in March.
Your talent in college basketball is also looking to leave after their first year, yeah. Unlike in college football, too. So you don't have time to, you know, redshirt them or try to get them to work into the system. You've got to figure out a way to do it on the job. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is the fun part about college basketball is the fact that you get Kentucky and Kansas playing. You get Michigan State and Duke playing. These preseason conference tournaments, you get some great matchups. It's hard to break away your focus from football sometimes, but you can get some really good games early on in the season.
But what's the challenge for Kentucky? And this would be, because they didn't look very good in their first game. They did end up winning. But remember, people were going, what's going on? Utah Valley? Or who are these guys?
Well, then
is that even a Division I team? You know,
and then they played Vermont, which is a similar type of deal.
Yeah. And the best Kentucky teams, I think, that Calipari's had, he's had at least two or three guys who, maybe even if they weren't star players, they were guys who were glue.
Mm-hmm.
They could come in there, and they had been through it. And they could help the marquee freshmen that were going to be one-and-done guys that everybody knew. Now, you look at that roster who played last night. I mean, it's an entirely new team. It really is.
Unless you pay a ton of attention to college basketball recruiting, you literally need a program to watch a Kentucky game at this point in time.
So that is tough. I don't care how good these freshmen are.
And that's why that's the genius of Calipari, right? Is the fact that every year he can take all these new guys in and figure out how he wants to play with them. And it might be a little bit ugly or nerve-wracking early on if you're a Big Blue fan. But by the time it rolls around to SEC play, and certainly by the time they get to March, look out.
Final thing I want to hit you with college basketball before you go back, and we'll yo-yo back to football here. But the news with Darius Garland for Vanderbilt, I just think you can't undersell how big that is for that program. I think they'll be okay this year. I think they'll be competitive, maybe to the bubble. I think I'm hopeful that if the pieces fit, they can be good this year and not have a big drop-off from making it last year. But the direction of the program now with Garland, and I think he's kind of a magnet that's going to lead them to another recruit or two here to pick up before they take the court next year. And they've got a couple of guys sitting out this year, transfers that I think will be good veteran players for them around those guys. Next year is going to be off the charts in terms of local excitement, I think.
I agree. They've got a long way to go this year. I think that we saw that the other night. I mean, Belmont was just clearly the better team. And I don't care who you are in the SEC and where you're playing that game, when you walk into a non-Power 5 school and you just get beat around like they did, that's troubling. So they got a ways to go this year, but the future is bright. They've got some talent already on the roster. I think Larry Austin's addition is somebody who's going to play very well there. You've got some other guys in the backcourt that are going to be good. They've got to find some more meat inside, I think, than what they have right now. But Garland's a great player. I mean, he's the highest-rated recruit Vanderbilt has ever gotten in the so-called rankings era. And there's a couple of other guys that they're in on, and I'm hearing positive things about it. We'll see if they can land them or how soon they land them and what this class ultimately can be. But it has the makings to being a top five, top 10 class, and those are the types of classes in basketball that if you can put a top five class together, you can be good immediately for the same reasons we're talking about Kentucky. Because in basketball, unlike football, you don't need the maturation process. You don't need years in the weight room. If you can play, you can walk in and play.
Mm-hmm. No question. So exciting times coming. When we come back, we'll yo-yo back to the Titans a little bit more as they get set to take on the Steelers. We'll touch on a few other things as well. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, as he always does on Wednesdays here on this show. Stay tuned. This is 3D on 102.5 The Game.